The Hurricanes are 14 too. How about that?
Holy hell. I can't believe they're 14 and 2. Like, not that they're a bad team, but that's just a crazy record.
It's crazy. Like, it's not normal at all.
They've lost two games.
They've lost two games.
By like a single goal, and it was like they were winning the game, just kind of slipped away.
Yeah. This is the Canes Country podcast. Brett and Ryan here.
Howdy.
And yeah, I don't even want to listen to our preseason podcast ever again. I never want to listen to it ever again. How adamant we were that they weren't better.
They weren't better. The team was not improved. We didn't know how this possibly was a better team.
We said flatly over and over for like an hour that they weren't better. At our most generous, we conceded that maybe they were the same.
I think in my kindness, I was like, I think the team will get it together. I'll be like, definitely 100% slow start. It won't look pretty to begin with.
I said the Islanders would finish first in the division.
Oh, God.
They're at the bottom of the division.
To be fair to the Islanders, they had their first home game just like yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, yeah, it's not at all what I was expecting.
Barry Trotz, more like buried at the bottom of the Metropolitan Division. It's going to take quite a trot for them to regain a playoff spot at this point.
Barely an NHL team. See, now they're going to go on a run. Now that we've made this statement.
Yeah. I mean, they played them on opening night. That feels like a lifetime ago.
Oh my God, they did play the Islanders at some point in the season.
Opening night, wasn't it?
It was opening night. 6-3 win. Fredrik Andersen's first win as a Cane.
Yeah. Maybe, well, not his worst game anymore, but for a while, that was his worst game.
Yeah.
3 goals on like 28 shots was his worst game for a good stretch of time.
Yeah, that one was rough. We were like, oh man. I guess we're going to pick an outy bad game. It would be that one.
Yeah. For a while. Yeah, that was his worst game. And comparing it to goalies of recent years, not even really recent anymore. I think back on the dark days as recent still, despite the fact that they're going to be in the playoffs for a fourth consecutive year. Barring total disaster, which can happen, but it would be pretty difficult to imagine at this point. 14-2, they're 3-0 on their current road trip through the West. Talking about how good they've been, less so in their most recent game against the Los Angeles Kings. And how did they win that game? Can we? We should talk for an hour about how they won that game.
They won that game off of sheer skill level comparatively, and then Fredrik Andersen having an absolute incredible period.
They got okay, so they took a 5-4 lead into the third period, and the entire game was back and forth. The Hurricanes had 5 separate one goal leads. So if you do the math, you break it down, it's 1-0, then 2-1, or I'm sorry, then 2-1, then 3-2, then 4-3, then 5-4. It was back and forth the entire game. And you were expecting more of that in the third period, especially when Los Angeles comes out and just dominates the Hurricanes the entire period. But, I mean, hey, Fredrik Andersen, maybe the best goalie in the world on the planet.
The entire planet. He
has a .937 save percentage now. He has an NHL best 13.2 goals saved above expected at 5-on-5. He's not even letting Antti Raanta play any fucking games. He's like, no, I'll just keep playing.
So this is my fucking crease.
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking about maybe his opening night game was his worst game, but that was probably taken over by that game. I think in Florida that he allowed a bunch of goals, and then Ranta came in.
Yeah, he allowed 4 goals in the first period. And yeah, Ranta came in to play the second.
And Brendan Moore was quick to say, yeah, that wasn't really about him. We were awful. So Ranta came in. And then he faced like 4 shots the rest of the game or something.
4 shots and then a shoulder to the head.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that. That's right. Yeah. He didn't even play that long because he got Mrazek'd and tried to play a classic, you know, your goalie, your starter's out of the game by way of either injury or just being pulled. Let's play a puck at the blue line. That's what happened. And
holy shit. I didn't even think about this parallel.
Yeah. You know, everybody was like, oh, this goalie tandem, much more stay at home and sound. And then Ranta in his second game as a Hurricane decides to play a puck on Mars and gets obliterated.
Absolutely railed.
By Ryan Lomberg. So, and that led to the Alex Lyon game against St. Louis. And he was very good, too. But
he was very good. Did what he needed.
The Hurricanes rank second as a team in team goals saved above expected at 5-on-5. So that's Anderson, Ranta, Lyon for that game playing remarkably well. Ranta had that kind of rough first game, but, you know, he's played about 65 minutes since then. And you know what? He's been pretty good.
He looked good against Vegas.
Good against Vegas.
He let in like those first 2 goals, and it's like his defense hung him out to dry. It's like I just think of like the Shea Theodore taking the shot, collecting his own rebound, shooting it again, and then getting his own rebound to shoot it again. Nobody's stopping him or stepping in the way. It's like, come on now.
Yeah. I feel like it's appropriate. You know, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. It's tough to be a Debbie Downer on a 14-2 start, right? But I'm going to be. Number of games here that doesn't feel like they should be winning, but they are anyway, thanks in large part to goaltending in the third period.
Oh my God. Third period goaltending has been quite a treat, honestly.
Quite a treat. They've allowed the fewest goals in the league in the third periods this season. They've only allowed 6 goals in what has now been 16 third periods. And I mean, what else can you say? It's been pretty remarkable.
It's hard to, it's like you said, hard to say any, pick out anything on a team that's, you know, 14-2.
Yeah.
They're winning games. It's everybody's contributing all throughout the lineup.
Usually, you know, we've done this podcast for multiple seasons, and at this point in the year, you're probably like in 16 games, you're like 10-6, 9-7. You're like, okay, what needs to happen here? And you're kind of like looking all over the place. But I mean, they're winning games constantly. And when these games that they're not playing well in, it's not like one line is laying them down. It's like an entire team, like not really being on it. So it's not like, oh, you know, making this line change will really help. It's just kind of like it feels like a mental, like kind of, I don't know. And even in those games, they're winning.
You can't just be like, yeah, Jordan Staal's lines really hasn't shown up at all. Like either everyone's there or nobody's there, except for the goaltending in the third period.
Yeah. And all of the lines, for the most part, have been good.
I think that's been the most shocking thing to me when I like look at the team or like I look through the scoring. I'm like, Aho and Svechnikov leading the way. Obviously, you know, you expect that, but it's just like from everyone else, it's really balanced contributions.
The bottom six has been outstanding.
Oh my God. They've been
unbelievably
so good.
Good.
Can we talk about Jesper Fast having 5 goals real fast?
Jesper Fast. So like on paper last year when they got Foss, it was like obviously they're gonna put him with Jordan, and Jordan had his breakout year and all that. But his micro stats and his underlying numbers weren't very good for his standards, right? Because he's routinely at the top of the league in all those. And, you know, you're like, that was weird. Last year was weird. He's scoring a lot, and his underlying numbers aren't nearly as good. But this year, those numbers are where you expect them to be. And he and Jesper Fast together have been unreal.
Oh, my God.
In terms of puck possession and doing really what we expected them to do from day one in terms of putting up those kinds of numbers. Now, this is something we talked about over the offseason, too, about, like, swapping out Warren Fogle. You know, I think all of us were kind of like, yeah, I mean, Fogle not being there, I mean, it's going to be different, but he's replaceable. And so far, Nino Niederreiter has been the guy who, you know, and like, this is a contract year for Nino. And you would think, like, I don't know, you for a lot of players, you expect them to be more heavily focused on offense. But, you know, Nino has just been the same guy. He's been the same player for the most part.
Yeah, he's kind of bought into that, you know, forechecking kind of almost defensive-minded possession guy. Like you said, like, contract year, he could be thinking goals, more money, but he's, you know, he's playing for the team. He's doing his role, and he's fitting in so well. That Jordan Stahlgren for Foss line, when you throw Nino on there, that's just a bunch of heavy bodies just going to work behind the boards, as Trip Trace would say, digging in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I just imagine, like, granted, I'm no hockey player. I'm far from an athlete. But I just could not imagine having to try to just go into a board battle with any of those players. You just, holy hell. Jesus.
That's something I would not like to do. Especially Jordan. I mean,
oh my God, Jordan Stahl, just murder me.
I mean, he would. He would murder any mortal being who's not in the NHL. He would probably mess up in board battles. We've gone about 15 minutes without talking about Seth Jarvis, so we should probably fix that.
I just didn't want to be the first one to bring up the like wonder
it's really kid. The elephant in the room. It's like, when are we going to start talking about Seth Jarvis? Okay. Four right, goals. Here,
I got you this one. Holy shit, Seth Jarvis. All right, take it away.
Yeah. That's pretty – okay, yeah, so that's it. I'm not even going to read his numbers. I mean, he has four goals in nine games. Rod was asked about, you know, what's going to happen. And after the game in L.A., after Jarvis scored his third consecutive game, and he's like
– they haven't talked to me about it, but, I mean, it's pretty clear what's going to happen. I could have told you that 89 games ago. But I guess they love the drama.
It's getting sent back.
Exactly.
We need our narratives, Brett. We have to fabricate all these stories.
We need the drama of will he stay or will he go? But that hasn't been a thing since like his first game. Like literally from the moment that he started playing, it was like, oh. Like you're not even gonna make this interesting, man. Are you?
He has not had like a bad game.
No, he hasn't. Dude, he's playing the first line with Sebastian Aho and Andrei Svechnikov, and he's scoring every night.
It's like, holy shit. He's 19. He's 19. My God.
He's 19.
It's I feel so old.
Yeah. He makes being in your early 20s feel like you're in your late 40s. What was I doing at 19? What was I doing 3 or 4 years ago? Not that.
No, definitely not that.
At all. Experiencing success was not something that I was really doing at 19, especially not on that scale, on that stage. And he's doing it. And it's not even just the pure, like, numbers of it. Like, if you just watch him, it's like, this dude looks like a top six forward.
He draws your attention in. Like, you gravitate towards him. You're like, oh, man, he is making plays. He is noticeable. He is on. He's anywhere the puck is, he's going towards. He's making plays towards. He's making defensive plays. Like, you think, like, oh, young offensive forward, you know, he's shortcomings be defense. No, he's been great defensively. He makes great defensive plays. He you know, he tries to block shots. He hit in front of two, like, Colton Parayko slap shots while there's, like, Canes are tied 2-2 with the Blues in the third period. And it's like, this 19-year-old kid is just throwing his body in front of him.
Very defensively responsible, very mature game, neutral zone. Like, he's never a spectator. It's like, he's always, like, involved, regardless of whether his team has the puck or not. And when he does get the puck, it's like, all right, all eyes on you, dude. Like, you know, he does stuff on every shift that's like, wow, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, I broke down his film for Canes Country, mm-hmm. like, before even the road trip started, before the first game in Vegas. And, like, he only had two goals and assists. You know, it was, you were like, you could be like, you know, you could miss the forest for the trees if you're just looking at his stat numbers.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, he's making, he, like, you know, granted, the two goals waved off. You know, third goal he could have had went off Dmitry Yastin's leg, and the amount of chances he set up to guys that, like, have just whiffed or, like, not been able to convert. And, but now it's like he's got goals to go with his great play.
And, yeah, he had those two goals called off. In my personal record book, he has 7 goals. Because I'm including the two that got waved off. Those weren't his fault. He deserved goals there.
He put that puck in the net.
He did, and I'm also counting the debut game where he got gypped by who was in front of the net?
Dmitry Yastin.
Dmitry, come on. It's not even like, it wasn't like Chychrun or like whatever. Like, it was Dmitry Yastin. No disrespect to Dmitry Yastin, but it counts. Can we talk about maybe how he doesn't have an assist since his debut? I think we should, since we can't make drama out of whether he stays or goes, is he a selfish player? Is Seth Jarvis a selfish, self-involved player? Because he only has 1 assist and none in his last 8. I think this is drama.
Brett, I mean, look at that mustache. That screams, you know, like 15th century bank robber. That's selfish.
I need to take a look at... I want to take a look at the mustache again. I don't remember if it's good or bad.
It's not good. Like, it may be in a sense, like, it's kind of funny to look at. It's kind of good in that sense, but it's not like a, it's not, you great. Don't look at it and be like, that's a good mustache. No, you look at it and you're like, oh man.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not good.
It's good for a 19-year-old. Mine wouldn't have looked that good.
I can't even grow one now. I'm like, I've like been growing out like my facial hair just for Movember, and it looks terrible.
Just
a little thin, not even as good as Jarvie's.
And yeah, he's got it all figured out. I mean, he's 19 and he has a lot of things going for him here.
Mustache number one.
He kind of has a goatee going on too. Less impressive than the mustache, and the mustache isn't overly impressive, but yeah, and really the chemistry he's had with Aho in particular has been really impressive. I think we kind of had this thing last year where Teravainen was out and we're like, wow, Aho and Natchez are really on the same page. I'm just gonna say, you know, maybe Sebastian Aho is just excellent and will have chemistry with anyone he plays with.
Brett, I'm just gonna mention like Jordan Marnook and like Brock McGinn, and just kind of mention they when they played on that first line, it just wasn't so good. But you know,
well, I disrespected Dmitry Yastin. I'm going to disrespect Marnook and McGinn now. Players who have the ability to consistently get open and score goals are players that Sebastian Aho has success with, I guess. I'll revise my statement to that.
All right, fair. More fair.
A little more specific. Jarvis has been really good, and he's not going anywhere, obviously. We kind of knew for a while. And just to like even if he only had like 2 goals, I still think he'd stay just because he's been so solid.
With the way he plays, you know, it's like you know, like he'll get him eventually. It like feels like it's like it's not like he's like, you know, gripping his stick hard when he's like he's playing the right way every game.
He's just been really good all around. He's been proving pretty much every game that he belongs.
And you look at his eyes. I gotta make sure. Hold up. Once again, I have to. You know, I remember last we bring up like the last like preseason predictions. I remember last year we would get questions like, "You guys think Seth Jarvis is making the roster? You think Seth Jarvis is gonna be called up?" And we're like zero, less than a 1% chance Seth Jarvis makes his team. Give him another year, and then we'll see him. But there's no way he makes this current Carolina Hurricanes roster.
I was more open to the idea than I think you two were.
I bashed those comments, and I just want to sit here and say I was wrong. You commenter who left those Canes Country comments, you had something going. You knew what you were talking about. I saw this coming.
I was more open to it, but I still reached the same conclusion. So that doesn't mean anything. In his last, okay, so his first two games, really, like he was like getting like 10, 9 minutes a game. Or his last seven, he's getting 15 minutes a game. That's a quarter of a 60-minute hockey game. Real minutes for someone who is 19 years, 900, or not 900, 19 years, 293 days old. Hockey Reference puts the age exactly next to the games in their game log.
It's impressive. That's how
I know. Over his last three games.
Brett's just big Seth Jarvis fan. Just knows
big Seth Jarvis fan.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's playing 15 minutes a game. I mean, he played 18 minutes and 43 seconds against St. Louis in that game. The second game in a row that he had a goal disallowed. Which was garbage. It was ludicrous. Terrible. It was so bad. And in that game, and what ended up being a 3-2 game, wherein the final goal was not scored until the final 3 minutes of the game. So, he had 18 minutes and 43 seconds of ice time. So, even before he went on this streak of three goals in consecutive games, or goals in three consecutive games, if I can say that right, he was already, you know, being trusted.
At that point, that St. Louis game, we should have known that he was going to be there to stay, because I remember watching back on the film and somebody didn't notice at the time. I mean, there was the 2 minutes to go. St. Louis pulls their goalie. First one's over the board, Svech, Aho, and Jarvis. So it's like under two to go and like pulled goalie situation. You know, Brendan Moore says, "Jarvis, you're going out there." Killed like a full minute. You know, they fend off St. Louis's rush. And it's just like at that moment, you know, I really thought, I was looking back at it, I was like, oh, huh.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious from there. So, I mean, his presence in the lineup has pushed, you know, guys that who have earned nightly playing time, guys like Stepan or Lawrence, out of the lineup. And they don't deserve to be out of the lineup, but Jarvis is so good that he creates that problem.
Hey, someone's got to sit. It ain't going to be Jarvis.
It's not going to be Seth Jarvis. That's for sure.
But let's try to create a little drama here. I mean,
I tried.
Would the Canes have offered Shidi Asperi Kokkonen if they knew Seth Jarvis was going to be this good?
I thought about this. This is something that I've thought about. I don't know. And honestly, they shouldn't have. I remember from the second that happened, Twitter was like, "Oh, sassy move. Ooh, yeah." Engagements on Twitter. And I was like, really? I mean, I wrote about it. We talked about it. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I would have done that. And
yeah, he was going to be a project.
Yes. And, you know, he has been a project. The experiment of putting him with Aho was very short lived and benefited no one. And since then, he's been pushed down the lineup. They tried to play him with Trocheck. That didn't work. Tried playing him with Stahl. That didn't work. Now he's on the fourth line. And, so I think
But.
Well, but.
Now he's a center, though, on the fourth line. Playing better hockey.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe... I don't know.
It's a weird one. It's like, I don't think he's been bad necessarily.
Yeah. He hasn't been bad. But it's like, you're paying $6.5 million for the... You're not really paying him $6.5 million.
You paid a first round.
It's like a finder's fee, really. Like, and the first round pick. It's like, you're paying for the right to have him. And he's not like worth $6.5 million. And no one's pretending that he is, or that's how he should be playing. But I'm still firmly in the camp of, I don't know about that one.
It'll be interesting to see, like, as it goes. Because obviously, like, if I were to sit someone the last two games when, you know, Nino was back healthy and Jarvis was playing well, you know. Well, I wasn't going to sit Stepan.
No.
I wasn't going to sit Lawrence.
No.
I
was going to
sit KK. That was my thought process. So,
what's interesting is that he's on the fourth line and we're 16 games into the season. No one's talking about that because they're 14-2. And being, you know, winning solves all the problems in the world. If they're like 20-2 in like 2 weeks, I think world hunger will be solved. I think everything will be okay as long as they keep winning. And that certainly includes Kotkaniemi, who, you know, if they were 9-7, maybe his like relatively underwhelming play, you know, if you're me or you're like a lot of people, it's kind of like, yeah, this is kind of what I expected. But if you expected a $6.5 million player out of him this year and they were like 9-7, 8-8, you'd probably be talking about that more. You'd be like, what's the deal with that? But they've been dominant in terms of wins and losses. So you're kind of like, you know, you don't focus on what's going wrong. You're focusing on all that's going right. And Jarvis is certainly among that group.
Among us.
Among us. Ow. I hit my head.
I thought it was you hitting like your head or something from Among Us.
Yeah, that I mean,
I was gonna be like the cringe. That.
Among Us. That died real quick.
Oh man, yeah, that came and went. Now it's just that, internet memedom.
Yeah, that came and went real fast. Didn't have the staying power. Lasted longer than Fall Guys, remember that?
Oh my god.
Or Fall Guys?
That's a throwback.
That wasn't even a year ago.
That's still a throwback.
It's still a throwback. I mean,
it feels like a throwback.
Yeah, I mean, and have you seen Squid Game?
I have seen Squid Games. I was good. I like Squid Games.
I was
a lot.
Enthralled. I was edge of my seat. Such a good show. Edge of my seat watching Squid Game. It's not high art or anything, but it's just really engaging. Really grabs you.
It really does.
It doesn't let go. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, same. I mean, it's a battle royale kind of premise, like Fall Guys.
Yeah. Grabs you, doesn't let go, kind of like watching Seth Jarvis play.
Yes. Except Seth Jarvis is always the winner when, you know, when he's in those scenarios. I don't know. I truly don't know. Have you seen a show? Welcome to our hockey podcast. Have you seen the show Midnight Mass?
I have not seen that. I saw you tweet about it, though.
I tweeted about it. Like once a month or once every 2 months, I'll tweet about a show. And Midnight Mass was that show. So good. It's gripping. It's It stays with you. You think about it.
Makes you think,
Pierre. Makes you think. It makes you think. It makes you think about many bad things, and there have been plenty of bad things in the NHL this year.
Chicago.
Chicago, yes. Obviously, that's very bad. Woof. But around the league, let's open it up. Biggest surprises so far. For me, one of them is the Islanders. I know they've played on the road a lot, but you didn't expect them to be below 500 at the bottom of the Metropolitan Division. Anything else stick out?
I got a few teams, but I also got a few players that I was thinking about. I think surprising to me was how, you know, Detroit and Columbus aren't necessarily in a playoff spot, but they're a lot better than I thought they were going to be to start the season. And this could all be smoke and mirrors, but yeah, they're looking like, you know, Columbus looking like they could have a quicker turnaround, and Detroit looking like they're starting to turn that corner on that rebuild.
It certainly helps when you have the top two rookie of the year candidates.
Oh my God, Lucas Raymond and Mort Seider. Oh, they are so fun.
They're both so good. They're both extremely good, especially Seider. He is insanely good. Like he looks like he's going to be real special.
What a top end prospect. What a home run for.
No one knew who he was when they drafted him. Literally,
they were like, everyone was saying, like, what an overreach taking this German defenseman.
Yeah, but he's incredibly good. Wow. And Raymond is just a bundle of fun to watch skate around out there.
I thought Columbus has been really too good, too. Boone Jenner as a first-line center has worked.
As everyone expected, yeah.
I think Jacob Voracek just, like, doesn't get as much credit helping there, you know, being able to be that playmaker.
I feel like he's always been super underrated. Overlooked.
Yeah, he's always been, especially in Philly, because, like, if you're not winning in Philly, you're kind of, like,
yeah,
shit on. Like, Drew gets a lot of flack just because, like, the team hasn't, like, had, like, playoff success recently. It's like, these are good players. They just, again, you know, just having trouble.
Jake Bean.
Jake Bean is, you know, he's been getting some points together.
Has he? I haven't even thought to look at what Jake Bean's been doing.
He's got, like, I want to say 3 goals, 4 assists. I can tell you in a second. Let me pull this up.
You don't have to. I don't care that. I don't care that much.
I would say another, like, Cole Sillinger for Columbus has been a
he's been good. Yeah.
He's been real good. And it's like, I guess, like, when you get exciting young players and you just let them go and just let them play, you know, good things happen. So it's been surprising. Another surprise to me, not that it's surprising that he's a good player, but just the fact that Leon Draisaitl has 18 goals and 35 points.
Yeah.
And he's only played in 17 games. He's averaging over 2 points per game, over a goal per game. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
We're like, Connor McDavid, 100 some points, like 200 point pace. Hey, it was the North Division. They can't play goalie. They suck. Canada sucks.
And now they're playing. Well, Canada does suck.
Canada sucks. You know, granted, the Canadian division was not good. They made the finals, so it's kind of like.
I love Canada. I do not love the Canadian division. And I'm glad that has been removed from our lives.
Yeah, but the fact that Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are just going back to lighting up the entire world, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Just a little reminder that, they are the first and second best player in the league.
Yeah.
With the world.
Yes.
The Ducks are surprising. Troy Terry.
The Ducks are shockingly competent.
California is shockingly competent again.
Yeah, like, the Kings aren't terrible.
The Kings aren't terrible. Like, they're actually, like, decent. The Sharks are not as good. The Sharks are better than they were. They're not good, but better than they were.
The Hurricanes will see the Sharks tomorrow, Monday, or today, if you're listening to it. To this when it comes out.
10:30 p.m. start.
10:30 p.m. Can I tell you how nice the 4:30 game was against LA? Every weekend game should be a 4:30 game, regardless of where you are in the world. As long as it's 4:30 on the East Coast, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. That's all anybody cares about. Exactly. It's like 10:30 p.m. Eastern start time. That's just
a fucking joke. That is ludicrous. What is that?
Like, you're not finished playing till like 1 a.m. If people have lives. We have to go places. We can't be up all night watching.
What makes me mad. That makes me very mad. There's lots of things in the world that I've been mad at recently. The 10:30 start time, not at the top of the list, but it makes me mad.
I'm gonna say it. It's bullshit.
Oh my goodness, he said it.
Just plain and simple.
He said it. Are there any other surprising things?
If I were to pick one more, I was just kind of going through a couple stats, just looking at different players. Brett, do you know how many goals Andrew Mangiapane has?
I know let me premise by saying he's always been good. He's always been very, very good. Not nationally recognized like he should have been, but he's insanely good. How many games has Calgary played?
Calgary, let me see here real quick. Calgary has played. Calgary has played 18 games.
I'm gonna say he has 15 goals.
Brett, he scored his 15th goal today, now, like a few, like 30 minutes ago.
Yep, there you go.
He has 2 assists and 15 goals.
He's good. He's really good. He's always been really good.
I know. He's always been a super underrated player, but like whenever anybody goes on a tear like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? For fun, I'll throw in one more. Alex Ovechkin, greatest goal scorer of all time, ? I say yes.
No, he is. There's no question. We're not going to have a debate on that. He is.
He has 14 goals. Like, at some point he's got to slow down. No. He's going to break Gretzky's record. I'm saying it. He's going to do it. He just keeps going.
Holy shit. I think he will too.
He just scores goals.
Do you remember there were a couple of years where his numbers were pretty down? Like, there's like 2 years, and then something happened, and then he continued to be the best goal scorer in the world. So, I mean, it's been. You know, if he just stands at the left circle, I mean, he's going to keep scoring. He's not going to lose his shot at this point. I mean, it's still there.
Of his 14 goals, only one of them has been a slap shot from his circle. And he did it last night against
the Sharks. I remember. Last night, that's why I was at the front of my mind. So. Yeah, I mean, it's outrageous. He's just going to keep going, and there's no use in trying to stop him. And the Hurricanes will have to try to stop him here when they return home. I believe it's a week from today the day we're recording this. I think it's an afternoon game.
28th.
Against
1 p.m.
against Washington. So Alex Ovechkin will be in town, and that will be a challenge, as it always is.
That'll be a treat. That's the other thing. It's like, you look at the Canes, you're like 14-2 record. No, nobody has less losses than the Canes in the entire league. And you're like, oh, man, they've got to be just pumping those standings. They're 1 point ahead of Washington.
1 point ahead of Washington. Granted, they've played
3 points ahead of the Rangers.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, my God.
And according to Hockey Reference, Carolina's strength of schedule is 27th out of 31, or 32 now. So... we'll see. You know, that will balance out throughout the year. They've certainly had stretches of games where they've played very clearly inferior opponents. Once these divisional games start piling up, because we haven't had many of them, they had the Philly game, they had the Islanders.
And they had Columbus.
They had a Columbus game.
And that was it.
Yeah, so they've only played 3 divisional games. They'll play Philly again at the end of the road trip, and then they'll play Washington. And as the year goes on, they'll play more of these divisional games, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because divisional games are different. You know,
they actually don't play a single divisional game in December.
It's crazy. That's a pretty backloaded. Division.
It's all backloaded like March, April.
Yeah, because there is no February because of the Olympics. Well, there is like at the beginning and the end, I think maybe, but
that's gonna be kind of crazy.
It's gonna be very, yeah, very backloaded in terms of divisional games and also home games.
Finally mix some home games back in.
Yeah, they'll play a couple home games after this current road trip, but then they go out west again just for fun. At the end of this road trip, they have San Jose that we mentioned, Philadelphia at the very end of it. They also go to Seattle in between them. They'll go to Seattle later this week.
You think it's going to be a big Morgan Geeky revenge game?
Maybe. Who knows? It might be.
I would say Hayden Fleury, but odds are he'll be a healthy scratch.
Yeah, he might be a healthy scratch. He's been really good when he's played this year. I'm not sure why he's been a healthy scratch, to be honest with you, but...
Now you sound like Kane's Twitter for the past few years.
I am, but he's been good. I am sounding like Kane's Twitter the last few years. And I wanted to smack them in the head with a ruler or a stick. Just be like, stop it. Spritz them with water. Like, stop it. Stop doing that. But now I'm saying that he's been pretty good this year.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. He had a 2-goal game and then got like scratched the next one.
Yeah, it's like, why? Why? Why are you not playing him now?
I was going to say, Dave Haxtell, maybe not, you know, coach of the year.
Maybe not. They also might not be a playoff team, like I think you and I both said they would be.
I saw they would be the fourth team in on the Pacific.
Oh, okay. I said they were third. And
I had them fourth in the Pacific because I had the Central being a little weaker.
Yeah, well, I said they'd be third and that they would make the playoffs. That's likely not going to happen.
You know, I didn't expect Grubauer to become like the worst goaltender in the league either.
Well, so overrated that Grubauer year. I mean, one of the most overrated goalie years ever. I'll say it. Ever. 100%. Vezina finalist, that dude played for Colorado. Like, what did he do?
You look at all of his goalie metrics, they were like middle of the road, like 15th overall, 14th overall. Like, he was middle of the road goaltending. I'm playing on a star-studded Avalanche team, and he got Vezina nod because GMs don't look at anything, because NHL GMs are honestly not the most intelligent people in the world.
No. Really? You think so? I don't know about that.
There's only 32 jobs and maybe 10.
If there's one thing that Ron Francis knows, it's goaltending, and I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens there.
Ronnie.
They'll meet up with him again later this week, and maybe I don't know. We'll see how all that goes. I think that's all we got. This has been the Canes Country Podcast. Thank you for listening this week. They keep winning, and you know it's tough to. Again, we talked about this earlier, but it's like they keep winning, so there's not a whole lot to talk about.
As soon as they lose two in a row, we're just gonna bash the shit up. We're gonna just tear them apart.
It's gonna be a big podcast. It's gonna be a momentous occasion.
Podcast.
It'll happen eventually. It will happen.
Canes are good. Relish in it. Relish in it, Canes.
Relish. Yes, yes. Enjoy it while it's happening. Enjoy the good times while you're in them, because they will not always be good. And that's how we leave you for this week. My name's Brett Finger. Ryan Hankel, of course, is here. Ryan, where can the people follow you on Twitter and only Twitter?
You follow me at @RyanHenkel_.
You follow me on Twitter at Brett Finger. You can follow Canes Country at Canes Country on Twitter. If you're on Instagram, you like pictures. And who doesn't like pictures? Especially
I love pictures.
Especially pictures of hockey that Katie takes. And you know, you can follow Instagram, Canes Country Picks, PIX. Read the site. Stuff going on there every day, covering the Hurricanes and their world-beating season to date, and everything that you would want to know or read is on CanesCountry.com. Rate the podcast, subscribe, follow wherever you listen to podcasts. You know where you can listen to it. You can listen to it anywhere because you're listening to it right now, so you know where it is. So continue doing that. Leave a review, rating, subscribe, follow, do all those things. Have a good week. Enjoy the hockey. Goodbye.